Broadcasting from Cincinnati, you're listening to the Ringside Reporter Podcast. All the news from the world of boxing right here.
Well, I'm talking to you the way I want to talk to you.
Now, here's your host, Eric Lorda.
Welcome to the Ringside Reporter Podcast, where we talk about the latest boxing news. If it's related to boxing, we'll talk about it here. My name is Eric Lorton, and I'm here today with my co-host, Ringside Robbie, and we have a great show for you today. And as always, you can catch us on the web at www.ringsidereporter.com. And today we're going to talk about Tim Bradley and Brandon Rios. That happens this weekend. We're going to cover all the bases here. We have a train wreck of the year, Robbie, of the year.
Yeah, I don't know if anybody will ever top this one, but
this
I'm sure some...
This train wreck of a lifetime.
Yeah.
And it doesn't involve Adrian Broner. In fact, it makes Broner look like a schoolboy. All right, I'm telling you. I'm speaking the truth here. Our history lesson this week goes back to November 5, 1994, with Big George Foreman versus Michael Moore for the heavyweight championship of the world. But first, we're going to start with the PBC on NBC. Jermell Iron Man Charlo dominated former world champion Joachim Alcine in the main event by a six-round KO. Man, I tell you what, this fight was all Charlo. He looked really good. But the guy he was fighting, you know, I mean, I don't know. I mean, he was definitely outmatched, put it that way. But Charlo, to his credit, did what he's supposed to do with an outmatched guy, you know. He did his thing and really took it to him. What were your thoughts on the fight?
I knew it was a complete mismatch when I went into it.
Yeah.
But I've got to say congratulations to Charlo, and I have nothing against Ronnie Shields because Ronnie Shields is a wonderful trainer. But remember, we've talked about on past shows how those three guys, the two Charlo brothers and his lawyer Laura, cannot be in the same stable. Well, guess what? They're not because... the Charlo that fought on Saturday is now being trained by Derek James, who trains Earl Spence Jr. So, you know, congratulations for Charlo getting a new trainer. And you know what? It looks like Derek James has actually improved Charlo as a fighter, believe it or not. And Ronnie Shields is not a bad trainer, but it looks like Derek James actually did some homework and improved him as a fighter. Now, it's kind of hard to say because the competition, frankly, was limited, but I was very impressed.
I was, too. He looked great in this fight. I mean, he really did. And like I said, we knew it was going to be an overmatch, yeah, a mismatch kind of when we went into the fight. But, I mean, the way he handled it, and I mean, he did exactly what he was supposed to do in a mismatch situation, but... I mean, he really did look good, and I thought you could tell definitely that he had a little bit, he had a few new wrinkles in his game and everything like that. Looked a little sharper, a little quicker, you know. He looked good, man.
And you know, like I said, I don't normally indicate that I want fighters to change trainers, especially with a guy like Ronnie Shields. But apparently, Shields was behind the whole thing. Everything was amicable and. You know, that's why you didn't hear any big news about it when he made the switch.
Yeah,
it wasn't
like that Tim Bradley switch, you know?
Yeah.
I still don't understand that, and we'll get to that in a little bit, but and we'll talk about that when we talk about the Bradley fight. But,
there was a
lot of times people switch trainers, and like here, you really didn't even notice. You didn't hear about it, anything like that. And then people like Tim Bradley, they switch trainers, and all of a sudden, you know, Joel Diaz, everybody's out in the press, everybody's doing, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
It's like, you know, you wonder if it's going to take away from Saturday, you know, if it's going to be a distraction at all or anything like
well,
that.
Well, we're going to find out on Saturday night whether Tim should have switched or not.
Absolutely.
That's just my opinion.
Absolutely. So what's next for Charlo? I mean,
I
know he called out Floyd after the fight, but realistically, what's next for Charlo?
Actually, he said if he couldn't get Floyd in the ring, which he did not, he wanted to get the WBO champion, whoever that is, since his brother has the WBA and Laura has the IBF, or maybe it's the other way around, I forget which, but he said if he couldn't get Floyd, he wanted the WBO champion, whoever that is in that division.
See, I've got that listed as blank here. I have it listed as vacant. Who is the 154-pound champion?
Okay. I don't know. Maybe it's a blank title, but he.
Yeah, I'm wondering. Well, let me see if he's ranked here. What is he ranked in the WBO? He's not. He's not even ranked in the WBO.
Okay. Well, anyway, that's what he said after the fight. So I don't know. Your guess is as good as mine. But you know, like I said, I don't normally abdicate fighter switching. But Derek James, congratulations to you. You have proven that you can work with more than the truth, Errol Spence. You did a good job here. So.
Yeah, absolutely. And I mean, you know, when you got Errol Spence, I mean, that's, you know. It's kind of hard to screw that gig up, you know. I mean, yeah. All you have to do is just, you know, make sure he gets to the ring and he doesn't break anything on his way.
Maybe Charlo's going to improve just by sparring with Spence every day.
How could you not? You know what I mean? I mean, how could you not? I mean, Errol Spence, like I said, to me is the guy. You know, he's the next up-and-comer, you know. And, I mean, how could you not improve, you know?
Yeah. So, no, good job here.
Absolutely. Also on the card, Tony Harrison got a unanimous decision over Cecil McCalla.
You know what? I'm convinced if Tony Harrison was in with a guy like Willie Monroe, who he was in with before, or Willie Nelson, I'm sorry, I think Tony Harrison would have been in trouble in this fight. Luckily for him, he had a guy that wasn't going to do damage to him, but you got to wonder if he's got stamina issues because of the first 8 rounds he completely dominated, and the 9th and 10th he was in nothing but trouble. I don't know if Tony Harrison's got a bright future because it seems like ever since you've increased his competition, he's had issues. So, I'm wondering if he's getting the proper work in the gym. Now, there's a guy that might need to switch a trainer.
And that's what I always look at. You know, when a guy has, like, stamina issues like that, you know, stamina issues can be overcome. And that's really the one thing you as a fighter can really control. You know, I think that, you know, that's the one thing. Because, you know, you know, once you get to a certain level, you're all really good. You all can fight. Mm-hmm. You know, everybody can, you know, knows how to throw proper punches and, you know, that kind of thing. So you have your game plans and stuff. Sometimes they go according to plan, sometimes not. Mm-hmm. But the one thing you can control is your stamina. And when you see a fighter fading, you know, at the tail end of the fights or in the later rounds, that's a stamina issue. I mean, you know, that's gym work right there. You know, that's stuff that can be helped, you know. So whether he's got that kind of issue or not, I don't know. But that's always a red flag for me. When you see somebody fading down the stretch like that, that's always a red flag for me.
And that has always been my main concern and main issue with Canelo Alvarez. Canelo always starts out, you know, great early in fights, but when it gets to the middle and late rounds, it's almost like he runs out of energy. That's always been my main concern with him. One of these days, Canelo's going to be in a fight where, the minute he runs out of energy, somebody's going to take full advantage, and that'll be that.
Yeah, you know, and that's the thing with Alvarez, man, is that he does have a tendency to take rounds off, you know, and that's a tough thing, man. You can't, not at this level. You know, maybe when he's coming up and stuff like that, he can do that, or with lesser opponents, he can do that. Not against top quality opposition, man. You can't.
I mean, I scored the Canelo Laura fight for Laura just because of that issue. Because it seems like the later that fight went, the more Laura was able to do. And see, if Canelo would hire a strength and conditioning coach and get himself in better shape and work on his actual condition, he would almost be unstoppable in the ring. But this is. I know we're talking about Canelo and his fight's not for another couple of weeks, but
right.
that's the major issue I see with him. You know, if he would fix that, he would almost be unstoppable.
Yeah, I agree. I mean, he's a good boxer and everything, but you know the stamina issues, man. You don't like to see it, and I don't like to see guys taking rounds off either. I mean, I don't. You know, if you're gonna fight, get in there and fight. And, you know, it's funny that you mentioned Laura. You know, and while you were talking about that fight, you know who Laura reminds me of?
Hmm.
Laura reminds me of, you know, this kind of generation's Winky Wright, you know.
Well, hey, that's a perfect, that's an excellent analogy.
Yeah, because he doesn't, you know, he's one of those fighters that you know, everybody in the boxing world knows who he is, but he's not like a, you know, he's one of those guys that everybody avoids because he's good. And you know that if you fight him, he's going to be a handful. Mm-hmm. But one of these times, he's going to fight somebody, and he's going to get the nod because he's going to beat him so bad, just like Winky did with Mosley, and then he kind of came out. You know, that was kind of his coming out, you know what I mean? That everybody knew. Exactly. I thought his coming out, I thought he beat Fernando Vargas myself, but that's just me. I had a score
and
for him.
I can't remember. Did he fight De La Hoya or no?
I don't believe he did. I don't believe he did.
Okay.
But, you know, the only time I really saw Winky beat, you know, was against Bernard Hopkins.
Yeah.
You know, at 160 or whatever.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
But, yeah, I mean, that's Lara, though. You know, Lara's going to get his shot. He's going to get his shot. And when he does, he's going to be a dangerous, dangerous guy.
Oh, that Cuban is... you talk about Golovkin being avoided. I think Lara is avoided even more than Golovkin is.
Well, with Golovkin, you're going to get money. With Lara, you're not going to get it. You know what I mean?
I know, yeah.
Which, you know, so people will take their chances with Golovkin and know they're going to get knocked out, but Lara will just make you look stupid in there. He'll make
exactly.
you look silly.
I mean, hell, remember the Laura Williams fight? All three of the judges got, they haven't judged a fight since. They got banned from boxing because of their scorecard.
Unbelievable.
Yeah.
Unbelievable.
But anyway, no, Tony, he definitely needs a new trainer or something because I don't see a bright future for him. I'll put it that way.
Yeah. Absolutely. And then the final fight of the evening saw undefeated prospect, who stole my nickname here, Caleb Sweet Hands Plant, captured a unanimous decision over Tyrone Brunson, or Brunson.
No, Brunson is right. Brunson is a tough guy from Philly.
Yeah.
It was a decent fight. But, see, they're advertising Caleb Plant as a power puncher. And if you're a power puncher, you're supposed to put away a guy like this.
Right.
He went the distance with him. So you folks at the PBC, don't advertise him as a power puncher because he lost that label, in my opinion. 11-0, 8 knockouts, but, you know, if you're a true power puncher, this fight would not have went 8 rounds.
Yeah, and I think it's a little bit early to call him a power puncher with just, you know, with just 12 fights in or 11 fights in, you know.
Yeah. Well, that's the way they've advertised him every time he's been on TV, and that label does not fit him.
No, not at all, not at all. All right, so let's move to the PBC on Bounce. Malik King Scott, won a heavyweight showdown with Tony the Tiger Thompson on the PBC, the next round, I guess, on the Bounce TV, the next round. And, you know, honestly, man, Scott controlled most of the action. At the end of the fight, even Tony Thompson said he was just too quick for me. He controlled most of the action through the 10 rounds, using his movement to control the pace of the fight. Thompson didn't give up, man. He really didn't. He tried his best and everything like that. And, in fact, almost got it, man. He landed a big right hand in the 9th round, put him down. But, you know, the fight would end up going the distance. All three judges gave the fight to Malik Scott, 98-91, 96-93, and 95-94. So, you know, Tony Thompson, again, man's 40, what is he, 44, 45, somewhere
something
in there.
Something like that. Time to retire.
It's time to go, man. He's 40-6 now, 27 KOs. He's had a good career. You know, it's time to hang him up, man.
And hell, he fought for the heavyweight title twice and got KO'd both times. The Klitschko beat him twice.
Hey, look, man, not everybody gets in there with Klitschko, and not everybody gets out of there with Klitschko, so you got to consider himself lucky, you know. So, that's a great career, man. Anytime you fight for the, if you're a boxer and you end up fighting for a title, that's a great career.
And not only that, he worked his way back up and got another shot, and the same result happens, you know. It's like
biggest prize in the game, man. There's no shame in that, you know. I mean, it's time to go, man.
Yeah, but I have never been impressed with Malik Scott. Every time I've seen him on TV, I've just never been impressed with him. Since you watched the fight, what do you think his future is in the heavyweight division? Because he's already lost to Deontay Wilder. Wilder knocked him out in the first round.
Yeah, there's no future for him, man. There's no, you know, he's not even a gatekeeper at this point. I think it's great that he keeps relevant. I think that he's relevant by headlining a PBC on Bounce card. But,
okay.
you know, I think it's great that he stays relevant, but he's got 13 KOs in, what, 40 fights? 41 fights? He's got 13 KOs and he's a heavyweight.
Yeah.
And he's not going to outbox anybody. You know what I mean? He's not going to outbox the class of the division. I don't see a big future for him, man. Again, he's 38 win. I think he's going to try to hang around for another big payday. You know, so hopefully what will happen is he'll get a bigger payday against one of PBC's up-and-coming heavyweights. You know what I mean?
Well, you know, we were talking about this yesterday, Eric, and we came up with him against Dominic Brazil.
I think that's a good fight.
You know.
Yeah.
We came up with him against Dominic Brazil, him against Gerald Washington, him against Amir Mansour, you know, people, Chris Areola, Fred Cassie, any of those people.
Yeah, I would, you know, I would rather see him get, you know, if I were him, I'd want the guy with the biggest payday, you know, try to get one or two more fights because, you know, he's not going to earn his way to a title shot. That's just the way it is. I mean, he's not going to earn himself in there.
Wilder already put him to sleep. So,
right.
You know,
so what unanswered questions is that going to have?
Yeah, right.
You know what I mean?
Yep. And since you're on the PBC side, what are your chances of getting Klitschko? You know, slim and none.
Right. You know, yeah. I mean, he's not going to get, you know, he's done. I mean, he's at this point, it's just, you know, about the paydays now, and hopefully he gets a big one.
Right.
Because as far as a title shot goes, nah, that's not going to happen.
Right.
No way. Not a big title anyway. I mean, he might get, like, the Intercontinental or something, you know, the WBC Continental Americas, whatever it is, you know. But nothing major. No way. Upset here, man. At least I thought it was an upset, man. Sergey Lipinets beat Lydell Rhodes. Lydell Rhodes is a big up-and-comer, super lightweight, 23-0. And Lipinets was only 8-0 with 6 knockouts and ended up upsetting him, man. I've heard a lot about Lydell Rhodes. I know he sparred Adrian Broner at one point, you know, just sparring and stuff like that. But and I saw the sparring session, man. He's a very good fighter. At least he looked good in the gym and stuff like that. I mean, you know, supposed to be like another up-and-comer or whatever, man. But, didn't work out for him here. Lipinets, man, he threw a lot of punches. He landed 122 landed of his 79 power punches. Rhodes only landed 79 total punches in the fight. You're not going to win the fight that way.
Yep.
The judges, the final scores were 96-93 and 98-91 twice, all in favor for Lipinets. That one shocked me. That one, I was pretty shocked at that one. The way he controlled it from start to finish, man, it really was. It was like, wow. I was shocked that Lydell came in there and laid an egg like that. Let's see what else there was. Gervonta Tank Davis, who's 13-0 with 12 knockouts, rising super lightweight star here, promoted by Money May.
Yeah.
He stopped Cristobal Cruz in the third round. Davis sent Cruz to the canvas in round one with a straight left hook and followed it up with an uppercut that put him down again and caused the referee to stop the fight at 131 into round three.
I've seen him fight in September on one of those fights before the he wasn't on the actual pay-per-view broadcast, but one of the other fights before the Mayweather-Berto fight, and he looks impressive, man. So.
He sure does, and of course part of the money team and everything like that, but yeah, I can't wait to see him fight again, man.
Yep.
Yeah, he looked good. I mean, 13-0 with 12 knockouts, man. That's pretty impressive, man.
Yeah.
Especially at the lighter weight like that, you know?
Right.
Lightweight, man. And also, too, let's see here. Samuel Figueroa won a unanimous decision over Javante Starks, 78-74 and 77-75 twice.
Okay.
So, and that was pretty much the action for this weekend.
Okay.
Pretty much it.
So well, we're gonna make up for it this upcoming week, folks. We got a lot.
A lot of fights, man. All right, so starting Wednesday, so if you listen to the podcast, it's tonight. Okay?
Yep. Or actually today, during the day, probably. I don't know how the time difference works because it's in Russia. So.
Right. And I'll tell you how to get this for free. Alexander Povetkin versus Marius Wach, 12 rounds heavyweights. and Denis Lebedev versus Latif Kayode. 12 rounds for Lebedev's cruiserweight title. You know how I feel about cruiserweights.
Yeah, and Coyote is the one that lost to or got a draw with Antonio Tarver, and then Antonio Tarver got himself busted the first time. So,
you know. Also, and too, on the card, the best ever. The best ever. TBE, Cesar Cuenca, 48-0.
With two knockouts.
48-0. With two knockouts. is going to fight Edward Troyanovsky, 12 rounds for Cuenca's undisputed IBF junior lightweight title. And the crown of TBE, linear TBE, if Troyanovsky is able to defeat him. And this is not going to be on in the States or anything like that. So what you want to do is go to Twitter, type in Povetkin versus Walk, WACH, stream, and then you'll be able to pick it up there. I imagine it's going to be on Box Nation. I could be wrong, but that would be my first guess.
Yeah.
So you can just Twitter and go to Box Nation.
I don't know if Sky Sports would pick this up because this is not involving anybody from the UK. So.
Right. Yeah. So, yeah, that's what I would do. You get it for free. Don't worry about it.
Yeah.
Now on Friday, November 6th, from Las Vegas on Showtime. Antoine Douglas will fight Les Sherrington, 10 rounds, middleweight.
I like watching Antoine Douglas fight. This is another showbox card.
Yeah.
Every time he fights, he looks good. So.
Yeah, I'm looking forward to see him.
All right.
And then, where was he? All right, Terrace Shellishtuk?
I think I know who you're talking about.
Wasn't he in Boxino? Where did I see him before?
He's been on Showbox before.
Okay. That's where I've seen him. I was wondering if he was in Boxino or what. He's going to fight Alislanbek Kozaev, 10 rounds, welterweights. And then Keenan Smith versus Benjamin Whitaker, 8 rounds, welterweights. And I'm not sure if you'll see all of those, but or you'll see those three. But
No, I think you'll see those three. I don't think you'll see any more.
Yeah, the one underneath that was, I love this name, Oshanique Foster versus Samuel Tia, 8 rounds, lightweights. Oshanique, and it's like kind of like O'Shea or something, like an Irish name, but it's his first name, Oshanique.
Okay.
Interesting. All right, and on Robbie's favorite channel, Estrella TV, you can also stream this on Ring TV on Friday. Martin Honorio versus Miguel Angel Huerta, 10 rounds, junior welterweights, and that'll be on Estrella TV, or you can go to ringtv.com.
Ring TV for the English people, yeah.
That's right.
Yeah.
All right, and on November 7th, the big one, this week anyway, Las Vegas, HBO, Tim Bradley Jr. versus Brandon Rios, 12 rounds, welterweights.
And we also have an NBC Sports card that night also.
Right, and also on the undercard of the HBO, Vasily Lomachenko versus Romulo Croatia, 12 rounds for Lomachenko's WBO featherweight title.
And those are the only two you'll see on HBO.
Yeah, this is going to be good, man. Let's start with the Lomachenko fight. This is going to be a showcase fight for Lomachenko. I don't know a whole lot about Koesesha.
I don't know anything about him, so if you know something about him.
I imagine it's going to be a walkover, and I imagine I look at Lomachenko knockout probably within six. I think it's going to be a vicious beating.
It could be earlier than that, depending on what this guy's made of.
Absolutely. Yeah, and I'm thinking this is a showcase. They're not going to put anybody in there with any real danger.
Yeah.
To Lomachenko. So let's talk about this Bradley card, man. Let's talk about the Bradley fight, man. Bradley and Brandon Rios. Now, I've said in the past, I've said it before, I'll say it again. I think Brandon Rios is a shot fighter. Now, that being said, he looked amazing against Mike Alvarado.
Well, Mike Alvarado
was a shot fighter.
Yeah, Mike Alvarado was past shoddy. And besides, it happened in Mile High, Denver, Colorado, so he might have been mile high before he stepped in the ring, you know?
He looked it, man, I'll tell you that. Yeah, he didn't look good at all. And Brandon Rios really, I got to give it to him, man, Brandon Rios boxed well. He looked great in that fight.
But the thing that irritates me about Top Rank is that fight occurred in January. Here it is, November.
Right.
Why did you keep him out of the ring for so long? Why did you deny him? And I understand Eddie Hearn had a lot to do with this.
Right.
But you actually denied this guy a title shot. And, you know.
Tua could be Rios, too. I heard after that fight there was a lot of, you know, he was looking for a lot of people. And, I, you know, I want to say, and I don't remember, but I want to say that he did get offers and he didn't want to take them. He was holding out for a big fight because I thought that Provotnikov was one of the guys that wanted to fight him.
Well, I think that fight should have happened.
I do, too. I think that was,
I think Top Rank messed up here because Provotnikov, I believe, is also fighting this weekend in Russia somewhere. If I'm not mistaken, and those two should have been in the ring together. Granted, would it have proved anything? No, but you keep your guys busy. See, we're all going to get spoiled because Al Haymon has got so many dates with the PBC. He's going to keep his guys busy. If you're with any other promotion company who's not affiliated with the PBC, your fighters are going to stay on the shelf.
Well, and I tell you, and I think that, like, the guys at Top Rank and stuff like that, I mean, they don't have that many big fighters.
No.
Whereas Al Haymon, I mean, we're watching these guys every week.
Exactly. That's my point.
I mean, that's just the way it is, you know?
Yeah.
And, you know, Brandon Rios is kind of out of options, you know? And, I mean, he really didn't have to be out this long. I really think, I remember, now that I recall, man, that Provotnikov fight could have happened.
Yeah. Now,
yeah, he wanted a bigger name, and he wanted more money, and he wanted this, and he wanted that because he beat Mike Alvarado.
I've got to honestly say to anybody that's affiliated with both Golden Boy and Top Rank, since the two of them seem to be tied together at the hip,
yeah.
you guys need to really think about your boxing careers because, I mean, do you want to be stale and not active? Or do you want to be active and busy like the PBC guys are doing? Everybody needs to abandon ship and go to Al. I mean, because he's going to keep you busy, you know?
Keep you busy, keep you on TV, keep you in the public eye. I mean, yeah, absolutely.
Yeah.
You know, I'll be honest with you, man. I'm not a big Brandon Rios fan. I never have been. There's something about the guy I don't like. I don't know why. I just don't like him. You
well,
know
look,
I
know that. I'm
feeling
I know
the same
that,
way about Tim Bradley too.
I know that Tim Bradley does not have knockout power, but no. if he doesn't get rid of Brandon Rios, Tim Bradley needs to think about something else to do.
Yeah, he really does because you know, and I don't know how anybody ranks Tim Bradley on their pound for pound list. I really don't. He doesn't fight anybody. I mean, he really doesn't. The guy he fought, Manny Pacquiao, demolished him both times, I thought, ran him over both times. You can't even make a case that he won that first fight. I don't care
who
you can't make a case for that.
I scored that first fight 11 rounds to 1, Eric. And I thought those judges were complete idiots. It's like, what the hell are you watching?
Yeah, exactly. That's the thing, man. I mean, that fight was so one. Both of those fights were so one-sided. And that, we hit it on the head with Bradley's last fight when he got in trouble and he almost got taken out of there, you know, in that last round.
Yeah.
It's always him getting the nod on decisions. That's what people don't like. And he doesn't admit to it. You know, hey, it was a tougher fight than I thought or anything like that. He just, you know, like he won the fight or something like that. And everybody's got eyes, man. They see it. It's clear, you know.
And, no, my opinion is if he doesn't dispose of Brandon Rios.
If you can't get rid of Brandon Rios at this point in Brandon's career, man, you need to reevaluate. Like you said, he's not a power guy. But Bradley, let me tell you what, as big as Bradley is, because Bradley's a big guy. He's muscled up and everything like that, man. If he hits Rios, he should be able to get Rios out of there.
And, frankly, I don't think Teddy Atlas is going to make much difference. Yeah, because Tim Bradley, he is what he is.
Yeah, I agree with that. Yeah, I'll be real curious to see what, if any, changes come with Tim Bradley and Teddy Atlas.
Because I think the future, at least on that side of the aisle, the future of the 147-pound division over there anyway, I hate to split these guys up. See, that's what I hate about this, is Saddam Ali. Saddam Ali should be fighting Tim Bradley, not Brandon Rios.
That's not even a fight, man. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Him and Rios isn't even a fight. That's what kills you.
Yeah.
You know, is that he shouldn't be fighting this guy.
Yeah.
You know, it's just, it's irritating, you know, because like
I can also be mad at Saddam Ali for not wanting to take the Jesse Vargas fight because they couldn't agree on location. Vargas didn't want to fight in New York, and Ali didn't want to fight anywhere else but New York. I mean, the two of you are not big enough names to demand where you're going to fight.
No.
If your promoter says you're going to fight, you're going to fight, and who cares where it is?
Well, I'm wondering, too. I mean, you know, about Saddam Ali, he doesn't want to fight anywhere but New York. I mean, is this a Golden Boy thing, or is this a Saddam Ali thing?
Well, I think it's the Saddam Ali thing because, you know, Oscar, if he has his druthers, everything's on the West Coast.
Right, right. You know? Yeah, and Ali's the only one that fights outside of the West Coast that fights for Oscar, you know.
Exactly.
Why couldn't they fight? I don't understand. I mean, why couldn't they fight in L.A.?
You know? I have no idea. I have no idea.
I don't get that either. You know? What? Yeah, there's a lot of, like, diva-like behavior going on with these fighters nowadays, man.
You know.
I can call my own shot. You don't even have a title yet.
No.
You don't have a title.
And like I said, with Ali and Vargas, they don't even have big enough names to make demands.
So what? Go to Vegas and demolish this guy. You're going to beat him anyway.
Yeah.
You know?
And look, even if I'm going to be honest with people. Even if Tim Bradley is successful in beating Brandon Rios, I'm going to tell you right now, if he ever steps in the ring with Saddam Ali, he loses.
Yeah. Oh, absolutely. Oh, Saddam will kill this guy. Yeah, I mean, Saddam's a better boxer. I don't know that he's – I think they're both about the same power-wise.
Yeah.
You know, but Saddam's a better boxer, much better boxer.
But believe it or not, I think Paulie Malignaggi, who's in Saddam Ali's corner, is going to make a better difference with Saddam Ali than Teddy Atlas will ever make with Tim Bradley.
Yeah, well, Tim Bradley, I mean, that being said, though, I mean, but Tim Bradley has been, I mean, Saddam Ali is relatively, you know, not young in his career, but he's up-and-comer, you know, he's starting. You know, where Tim Bradley's established and he's setting his ways, and it's going to be awful hard to change and unlearn things he's already learned, if that's the case, if that's what he needs to do.
Well,
or even add wrinkles to his, because at this point, you can't really unlearn anything if you're Bradley, you know.
Like the old saying goes, Eric, you can't teach an old dog new tricks, and there's no way you're going to be able to change anything about Timothy Bradley. He's too old. He's too stubborn. He wants things his own way. And, you know, and then he's got all the behind-the-scenes stuff going on with his wife being his manager and,
right.
And who knows what kind of demand she's making, you know. No, the whole thing just smells. I can't wait for Saturday and this fight to get over with because, like I said, if he ever fights Ali, he loses.
How shocked would you be if Rios beats Bradley?
Honestly, I would not be shocked. Wow. because Brandon Rios does not have the outside of the ring distractions. I mean, like him or not, Brandon Rios is always in the gym. And he pays attention to what Robert Garcia tells him.
Yeah. It'll be interesting, man. And like I said, man, I think it'll be interesting. I don't think Rios has much of a shot in this one. But even with all the distractions and everything like that, I still got to go with Bradley in this one.
No, I'm gonna pick Bradley, but it would not shock me if Rios wins. And Rios would suffer the same fate when he fights Ali that Bradley would suffer because Ali schools either one of these guys.
Yeah.
You know, what this fight is, the winner has to fight Saddam Ali, no matter who it is. I mean, because Saddam Ali is the mandatory.
Well, you know, and the thing is, I'm so tired of these organizations, the WBC, WBO,
yeah.
Because their word doesn't mean a thing. There's no reason they should have it. And everybody talked about, you know, the big worry was that Al Haymon was going to create a belt and this and that. You know, who cares at this point?
Yeah.
You know, because I'd rather have Haymon's belt anyway. Because the WBC, the WBO, none of them mean anything. Because here, the WBO, the number one, the mandatory contender was Saddam Ali. He was going to get a fight. And now he's fighting Rios.
Right.
Both Brandon Rios and Tim Bradley, both under the top ranked banner.
Yeah.
What is going on here? You know, I mean, and look at, what's his name, Povetkin and Wilder, mandatory WBC.
Povetkin is possibly throwing away his title shot by taking another fight that he doesn't need to take.
Right. You know, and I guarantee that fight's not going to happen. That fight probably won't happen. You know, because Wilder's going to fight again in January. You know, and you're looking at, you know, the soonest he could be ready is, say, you know, April.
Yeah.
You know, maybe. You know, I don't know. But just very disappointing that Saddam Ali is not getting this opportunity and Brandon Rios, of all people, who's getting this opportunity and does not deserve it, you know.
No. No. This is a fight that should not be occurring. This is an HBO top rank organized special is what it is.
Yeah. Yeah, this is why we'll talk about this in the news and room. This is why what happened to Hirschman, you know, this is...
I have my other theories on what happened to Hirschman. We'll get to that when we get to that.
Right. So, also, too, now on NBCSports.net, NBC Sports Net, I'm sorry.
Yeah.
Frederick Lawson and Kevin Bizier are going to fight 12 rounds for the IBF welterweight eliminator.
Mm-hmm.
Walter Castillo and... Kita Obara, 12 rounds for the IBF Junior Welterweight Eliminator.
Okay.
And so that'll be interesting. That's on NBC Sports also, and that's on Saturday.
Right.
And also, too, this is good. We were just talking about this guy, Ruslan Provodnikov from Monte Carlo, Triple G's old stomping grounds.
Uh-huh.
Ruslan Provodnikov versus Jesus Alvarez Rodriguez, 12 rounds, junior welterweights, and that'll be one that you'll have to stream as well.
Stream.
Yeah, absolutely, because I don't see that on anywhere. And, you know, I tell you what, man, I wish they had – and I don't know if it's going to be on Box Nation. I don't know anything about it. I don't know.
Right.
But, man, I tell you, I wish we had Box Nation here in the States or a station like Box Nation. And I think Ring TV is trying to do that. They have an app for, like, Netflix – or not Netflix, but they have an app on, like, Roku and Apple and stuff like that.
Right.
Where you can download it. You can also, of course, stream it or whatever. But,
right.
You know, I really wish they'd get something like that here.
Yeah.
And that's it for this weekend.
Yep.
All right.
Pretty cut and dry this weekend.
Yeah. So I'll be real interested to see that. And, of course, I think on the 14th, that's when Gary Russell, we'll talk about that more next podcast, but Gary Russell and Escandon are going to fight next that 14th.
You know,
weekend, so.
I don't like that fight card, not because of the guys fighting, but because of the opponents. Like, for example, Bermain Stavern is fighting Derek Rossi. I've seen Derek Rossi fight several times. Derek Rossi is not a Showtime quality fighter.
No.
This should be on, NBC Sports or NBC Sports Net or Fox Sports 1 or, and Gary Russell, I don't know anything about the dude he's fighting, but, you know, this is not a worthy title shot. There's other people that Derek Russell Jr. should be fighting.
Well, I think what they're trying to do, again, this goes back to the 80s wrestling thing with the jobbers and stuff like that. You know, you got the big guy coming into town, and, you know, you got the champion in there. They want to make him look good and look impressive and stuff like that, so they put this guy in there.
And, you know, this card is taking place in Vegas, the one on the 14th. Derek Russell is from Washington, D.C. All the other PBC champions have gotten hometown fights. Why hasn't this guy?
Well, I don't know. And again, I think what they're trying to do, I think they're really trying to build Gary Russell up. Because if you watch it, he was on the Adrian Bronner telecast on Showtime.
Right.
He was interviewed. He was one of the main interviewees, the main stars of that. Between fights, they interviewed him and stuff like that. They're really giving this guy a lot of run. They really are. They're giving him a lot of press.
Right.
And I think that they're trying to make him the next guy. They're trying to showcase this guy. So they're putting him out in the big stage in Las Vegas, that kind of thing. That's the only thing I could really think of, and that's why they're putting him on Showtime, isn't it? Showtime?
Yeah, right,
yeah.
Showtime.
So, yeah, that makes sense, man. I think they're trying to build this guy up, and when you're going to do that, they want to get that groundswell going.
But
so.
Bermain Stavern against a guy like Derek Rossi on Showtime, come on.
I wouldn't put Bermain – after the Deontay Wilder fight, after the performance he put on, I wouldn't put him on any fight, you know. I mean,
Bermain Stavern went to the school of Brian Jennings. He actually turned down the Luis Ortiz fight to be on the Golovkin undercard because, I quote, they didn't give me enough money.
Right.
And then, of course, what does Brian Jennings do? He decides to fight Luis Ortiz in December on regular HBO. Don't you get paid more when you're on a pay-per-view?
I would think you would. I mean, it makes more sense that's where you want to be. You know what I mean? It, to me, anyway, I don't know how the payouts go. And, you know, but to me, if you're on a pay-per-view card, I would imagine you get more money that way, but that's just me, man.
I don't know who his financial advisor is, but that's the most idiotic move I've ever heard. I mean, if you get a shot to be on a pay-per-view card, you sign the contract.
Right.
Instead of being on a regular HBO, this is, you know. I don't know.
I don't get it, man.
Boxing is strange sometimes. But anyway, we can go ahead and move on.
All right. Let's talk about our history lesson this week, man.
Oh, what a fight this was.
George Foreman versus Michael Moore, November 5, 1994. What a fight, man. What a fight. This fight was billed as one for the ages, and boy, was it ever. One of the most unbelievable things I've ever witnessed, and I've been watching fighting all of my life.
Yep.
You know, almost 20 years to the day prior to this fight was Foreman's fight with Muhammad Ali, the Rumble in the Jungle, a fight that Foreman was heavily favored in, and he was KO'd in 8 rounds.
Right.
And we talked about it last week here.
Right.
You know, this was pretty much the opposite this time. Foreman was the heavy underdog.
Right.
Michael Moore, of course, was making his first defense of the title that he beat Evander Holyfield for. Michael Moore was the IBF and WBA champion of the world, and moreover, he was recognized as the linear champion. He was the man who beat the man who beat the man. So,
and his trainer was none other than Teddy Atlas.
Right, right. Yeah, exactly. I mean,
yeah.
And Teddy Atlas, I remember, you remember him in the when he fought Evander Holyfield in that fight.
Right.
Teddy Atlas was the star of that fight. I mean,
it wasn't either
one of those two clowns.
Yeah,
because that fight really could have went either way, to be honest with you.
Right.
You know, Teddy Atlas, what was it, in round 7 or 8, sat down in the corner. Michael Moore, you know, comes back to his corner. Teddy Atlas puts the stool down, and then he sits in the stool. And he says, "Do you want me to go fight?" He said, "Because you're not fighting." He said, "Do you want me to go fight?" And
you know?
Then he sat him down, and he was like, you know, he said, "You're lying to yourself." And, I mean, he was just giving it to Moore. I mean, every time he came back, Michael was just taking it, you know.
Yeah.
It was great.
Yeah. And even in this fight, I forget what – I think it was didn't it end in the 10th round, Eric?
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. In the I think it was either in the 8th or 9th round. I'll never forget it. I forget which round it was in, but Teddy was clearly in the corner and said, I quote, "Stay away from the right hand." Stay away from the right hand, because at this stage of George's career, remember, for those that don't know, he fought until 1977 mm-hmm. and took 10 years off. Okay, this is why this was so unbelievable. George took 10 years off, lived a completely different life.
He was a preacher. Yeah, he was a preacher. Yeah. He retired and became a preacher after 77.
Yeah, and decided to turn his life around and you know, open up his own church. And then 10 years later, to raise money for his church, he decided, well, you know what, I'll make a comeback. So he started making comeback fights in 87 and worked his way up the rankings from 87 and 94.
Mm-hmm.
And then he got a title shot, and nobody believed he got a title shot, but he got a title shot. And for the first 7 or 8 rounds, and correct me if I'm wrong, Michael Moore pretty much dominated this fight, you know, did what he was supposed to do. But I'll never forget, I forget what round it was, but Teddy kept saying, "Stay away from the right hand." And then he goes out in the 10th round, and George puts him to sleep.
Man, I tell you what, you know, yeah, he sure did. Who was Foreman's, and I'm trying to think here, when he retired in 77 for the first time.
Right.
Who was his last fight? Was that Jimmy Young or Jimmy Ellis?
Jimmy Young in Puerto Rico.
That's it. Jimmy Young.
Yeah.
And I think he knocked him out, didn't he? I think he was a knockout and stopping
him
like that.
Yeah.
And then, you know, he went ahead and retired. He became a preacher, you know, and just lived a completely different life.
Yeah.
And, I mean, he was so, like, when he was champion, everybody hated him. I mean, it was like, I mean, nobody liked him because he wasn't a likable guy. It wasn't
because back then he was mean George. He's not the George that everybody knows today. He was completely mean. He reminded everybody back then of Sonny Liston.
This was such a different fight when you look at it, because then Michael Moore was kind of the, you know, Foreman was really popular on the second go-round, you know, when he came out of retirement.
Well, because he realized that he needed to make himself more available to people, and his real personality came out.
He was great. I mean, he was funny. He was charismatic, you know. I mean, everybody loved him, you know.
Yeah.
Michael Moore, of course, was really the opposite of that.
Yeah.
In fact, I've never heard anybody who had any contact with Michael Moore say anything positive about him.
No.
I know that when he retired, he worked at the Wild Card Gym with Freddie Roach, and Freddie was forced to fire him because of personality issues.
Right.
Everyone said this guy is so difficult to get along with. I remember it was something to do with Pacquiao and Pacquiao's entourage or whatever, and people just universally didn't like the guy.
Right.
I mean, he was just a douche, you know? I mean, nobody liked him.
I mean, hell, if you ask Teddy about him now, Teddy does not have one nice thing to say about him.
Wow. I mean, That makes sense, you know. Foreman entered the ring that night with the same exact trunks he wore in Zaire when he fought Ali 20 years earlier. The same exact trunks. And now, you know, and if you know George, he definitely wasn't the same body type as he was 20 years prior.
Oh, no, he was not.
Definitely a lot bigger the second go-around. But that wasn't the only thing he brought from his fight with Ali. In his corner that night was Angelo Dundee. Dundee was Ali's trainer the night in Zaire.
That's right. So this time around, Dundee was Foreman's trainer.
Right. So he brought the trunks and Ali's trainer. So hopefully he can exercise this ghost, man. As the fight began, man, it was apparent that Moore was a faster and busier fighter. I gave the second round to George Foreman. The rest of the rounds kind of all went the same for Moore. Moore would jab and move. And Foreman really had trouble. Like I said, he was just busier. You know, through nine rounds, I had Moore winning 8-1. I did give Foreman the second round. He looked like he shook Moore with some shots, but nothing. Moore took him pretty well, and he lost the round, but he took him pretty well.
Yeah.
During the 10th round, Foreman landed some shots and looked better than he had the previous rounds. I mean, he was having a really good round when out of nowhere, all of a sudden, man, out of nowhere, Foreman landed a left-right combination. Right to the head of Michael Moore. Michael Moore dropped flat on his back. He looked like he got shot. He fell down so quick. He was motionless for about 5 seconds. He tried to sit up, but he was just completely out of it. The referee ended up stopping the fight. George Foreman had just made history. Now, listen, here's the rub here. Everyone remembers the left-right combination that put him on his back.
Mm-hmm.
But it wasn't that combination. It was the right hand before that combination that did the damage.
Well, that,
you can see if you watch the tape, Foreman landed a right hand and Moore seemed to wobble. You see he lands that right hand and he stumbles a little bit to the right, and then Foreman lands that left and then right, and then he goes down. It was said after the fight, Moore said that he was out before that combination was thrown. He said it was actually that right hand before the combination, the last combination, he was knocked out on his feet. He had no idea. He said he was knocked out on his feet. He doesn't remember anything. Foreman hit him so hard that he actually broke Moore's mouthpiece.
Well, that's why Teddy kept saying, it was at the end of the ninth round. Teddy kept saying, stay away from the right hand.
Which, you know, was easier said than done, man, because, you know, Foreman, you know, who was slow, he was able to vary the speed of his punches. You know, and even that late, I mean, you got to think that as the fight wore on, you know, because Foreman's best chance is obviously in the early rounds because he has power.
Right.
As the fight goes on, you're exerting a ton of energy. As that fight goes on, your power diminishes.
Mm-hmm.
It doesn't mean your power is gone, but it does diminish. You're not as strong in the 10th round as you are in the first round. It's just the way it is.
That's right.
You know? And but to hit him so hard, he actually broke his mouthpiece. But that's the thing that that struck me, is that he was out before that combination hit. He was out, and I was watching that fight again today. He hit him with that right hand, and you could see him stumble to the left, or stumble to the right, I'm sorry. He hit him with that right. You could see him stumble to the right, and it just looked like a movement. It looked like he hit him, and he hit him hard, and so it just looked like it knocked him around, you know?
Yeah.
And he said he was out at that point. And then that's when that right and left combination came, and man, I mean, he just, boom.
And also, for those that don't know, at this time, while he was making his comeback, he was the regular boxing analyst on HBO.
Yeah. Yeah, and he had also had a shot. Foreman had also had a shot years earlier against Evander Holyfield, and Holyfield won a unanimous decision.
Right.
He had Holyfield in trouble a couple of times in that fight, but nothing. I mean, Holyfield was there, you know, and everybody, I think, remembers the 9th or 10th round in that fight, where Holyfield must have hit him with about 20 or 30 unanswered punches right off his head, man, and Foreman didn't go anywhere, you know. So, yeah, I mean, and Holyfield looked like he was putting in shots in that one. I mean, but that was it. That was another good fight. He came up short, but not this time, man.
Yeah.
Foreman had become the oldest heavyweight champion at the age of 45 years and 360 days, almost 46.
Yep.
So not to mention he had come out of a 10-year retirement to do this. This feat will never be equaled.
No. And, there's no other boxer on this planet in our lifetime that will ever be able to pull this off.
Never. You know, and he finally exercised, of course, the ghost of Zaire.
You know,
everyone always talks about the greatest heavyweights of all times and their accomplishments. This has to be near the top, if not the top.
Yep.
In a sense, it never will happen again, ever.
Nope.
Nobody will ever go on a 10-year hiatus and come back and do what he did. And not to mention at the division he did it in. Because one punch can end a fight there. And the punches that he took to get there.
I don't know about you, Eric, but when 87 rolled around and he started talking about, well, I'm going to come back, nobody in the boxing world or boxing fans took this guy seriously.
No.
You know, they're like, are you kidding me?
Right.
He's going to do what?
Yeah.
You know?
And he had come back, and there was a litany of comebacks that year, not in boxing, but all over. I mean, like in tennis, I think Bjorn Borg had tried to make a comeback, and then there was a couple of other sporting people that tried to make comebacks and stuff. Mm-hmm. And, you know, they had all, you know, went by the wayside because they're, you know, old.
Yeah.
You know, and Foreman was old by boxing standards, no question, you know.
I mean, most people today will know George Foreman because of the George Foreman grill.
Right.
You know.
Right. Nobody, you know, but for what he did with boxing, man, again, man, that will never, never, ever be duplicated.
No.
Just
because I can remember clearly when I first heard about this in 87, I'm like, what?
Yeah.
I've already seen this guy fight. Why should I bother? But when he started actually winning, it's like, okay, we've got to pay attention.
Well, and he was fighting, you know, and he wasn't fighting the best competition on the planet, let's be honest here. He was fighting a lot of bums, you know.
Yeah.
And then he stepped up and he fought Cooney, and that's when kind of people started to take notice. Even though Cooney was washed up at the time and he wasn't a very good fighter, you know, I mean, Cooney had definitely seen better days.
Yep.
You know, but he had, and then he fought, who did he fight? The Cuban. It was a Cuban guy.
Yeah, and I forget his name.
Was it Ramirez or, I don't remember.
I forget his name, yeah.
But it was a Cuban heavyweight.
Yeah.
And, it was a Cuban heavyweight, and he ended up beating that guy. And then you were kind of forced to take notice, like, whoa, wait a minute here. That should have been... You know, that guy should have won that fight. You know, what happened here?
And even when he got the title shot with Holyfield and lost on a unanimous decision, we figured, okay, that's it.
Yeah. I mean, because he still gave an incredible account of himself.
Yeah. And that happened, I think, in 91, if I'm not mistaken.
Yeah, it was somewhere around there. Yeah, 91, 92, somewhere in there.
Yeah. And we figured, okay, that's it. No, he continued fighting.
Yeah,
you know?
And we were all like, what is he doing? Why is he still fighting? You know,
yeah.
And then, you know, yes, again, he puts together some wins here, and then he gets a big win, and all of a sudden you're like, what? This guy's, you know, and then when this fight almost didn't happen because the WBA didn't want to sanction it. They said, no, we're not going to sanction it.
No.
And he went to court and had it overturned, and they said, yeah,
and not only that, he brought in his own doctors and said, look, I passed the physicals.
Right.
What's going on here, you know?
Right. You know, and got the fight, and man, I'll never forget. I'm watching the fight. I remember I'm sitting in the living room. I'm watching that fight, and when he went down, I just screamed. I was like, oh, my God, you know? And when he counted, and I said, man, he's in trouble. He's not going to get up, you know, because I'm looking at Moore, and I'm like, he's not getting up. I said, if he gets up, he's going to get in trouble, you know. He better hang on.
And even Lampley and Emanuel Stewart, I believe, and Larry Merchant, they don't normally go nuts during fights, but since they all worked with this guy, it's like, they just lost it, man.
That's what Lampley said. It happened. You know?
Yeah.
And he said it happened, and he was, you know, they were all screaming, and everybody just went nuts.
Yeah.
Because it was such a guy, and he was such a good guy. You were rooting for him. That's the thing, is you honestly rooted for this guy to win. You know, you wanted him to win. You wanted to see him beat Michael Moore. You didn't care who was across the ring from him. You wanted to see him win. You know, and as beloved as Holyfield was, you wanted to see Foreman win. You know, it didn't matter. He was the guy you wanted to see because he was such an underdog.
Yep.
You know, and of all nights, that night, you know, just a few days, I mean, 20 years almost to the day.
Yeah.
You know, that he lost his big fight with Ali. And then he's got so many, he's got the trunks on, the same trunks he wore in Zaire. He's got Angelo Dundee in his corner. I mean, it's just, you couldn't ask for a better finish. You couldn't ask for a better story.
Yeah. See, this is why it's very difficult sometimes to criticize even what we think are mismatches, because one of the good things about this sport is you never know. I mean, let's take Mike Tyson and Buster Douglas, for example.
Yeah.
I mean, everybody knew that that was a mismatch. We knew that Tyson was going to go over there in Japan and clean house, and we were never going to hear from Buster Douglas again. And of course,
right.
Buster Douglas did the biggest upset in boxing history, and same thing here. I mean, this was clearly a mismatch. This fight should not have taken place, but see, that's the thing about this sport. You never know.
No, you don't, man. When two guys, you know, decide to throw a fist at each other, you know, and they're both skilled guys, anything can happen. You know, anything can happen.
Yeah.
And like I said, man, you couldn't ask for a better storyline than this. Well, except for maybe this. George Foreman fought a few more times and then went on to retire for good this time.
Yeah.
He actually sold his rights to the rights to his name to a company called Salton Incorporated. And they made a product called the George Foreman Grill.
Yep.
Which landed in just about every home across the world.
Yep.
Well, I had one.
I've got one.
Lisa's got one, too. Yeah, Lisa had one, too.
Yeah.
It is rumored that George made over $200 million on that deal and, of course, never had to take one punch. That is a good story.
No, and now George is able to live the kind of life he wants and, you know, I mean, hell, that's an amazing story.
You cannot not like George Foreman. Just an incredible guy, man.
No, and remember, when he first started boxing, this is a whole rub. When he first started boxing, he was like Sonny Liston. Nobody wanted anything to do with him, you know?
Well, I mean, you know, not only that, I mean, you're looking at a guy that took out Joe Frazier like he did.
Yeah.
I mean, that was vicious, man. I mean, he put a beating on Joe Frazier. And that's something, I mean, after Muhammad Ali, the wars that, you know, he fought with Frazier and everything like that, I mean, to go in there and just demolish him like that. Also, you know what also gets lost in the shuffle? George Foreman's a gold medal winner.
Yeah, he won
heavyweight.
In the Olympics.
Yeah, heavyweight. What is the second heavyweight to do that? Isn't it second U.S. heavyweight?
I think it was 1964?
Four,
I believe.
But I know he wasn't he the second heavyweight, U.S. heavyweight to do that? Because I thought Joe Frazier was the first heavyweight champion.
Yeah, well, and then didn't Ali win a medal too?
He did, but he won it at light heavyweight.
Okay.
So Joe Frazier, yeah. I believe, is the first American heavyweight champion gold
medalist.
And I believe Foreman was second.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, it was either 64 or 68. I forget which Olympics it was.
Yeah, so, man, you can't say enough good things about George Foreman.
No.
Unbelievable. Quality guy.
And it just goes to show you how one guy can turn around his entire image, his entire, you know, I mean, because his first career was nobody wanted anything to do with him. He was a hated dude. Second career, nobody could get enough of him, man.
That's right. So pay attention, Michael Moore. You can come back in 10 years and do what he did.
Absolutely not.
You saw there was a legendary night on HBO about this fight. And I remember Michael Moore saying, you know, if that punch had landed 1 inch to the left or 1 inch to the right, they'd be selling Michael Moore grills.
Yep.
Instead of George Foreman grills.
Yep.
Yeah, not likely, buddy.
Not likely. Because you don't have the personality he does.
Right.
George, he still does TV commercials once in a while. Anything he talks about, people are interested. So,
absolutely, you know. Absolutely. Yeah. And when I was watching that documentary, you could tell he was still sour about that fight, too, Michael Moore was.
Yeah.
All right, so let's move on to our news and rumors section here. Big news is just announced today on Monday. British unification fight between 122 IBF belt holder Carl Frampton, who's 21-0 with 14 knockouts, will take on WBA champ Scott Quigg, who's 31-0 with 23 knockouts. That's going to take place on February 27th in Manchester. That is going to be a dynamite fight, man. That's about time And I got Carl Frampton in this one, man.
Absolutely. I know. I could not agree with you more. Frampton will win this fight. And, yo, Cal Brook, Amir Khan, see, these guys can do it. The two of you can, too.
Right, exactly. Yeah, these two guys put it together. And, hey, Eddie Hearn coming up big, huh?
Yeah.
Look at that.
Yeah.
Scott Quigg's guy, Eddie Hearn.
There you go.
All right. So, hey, it can be done. Now, also, too, this Wednesday, we mentioned it before, the best ever, Cesar Cuenca, looks to tie Floyd Mayweather and Rocky Marciano at 49-0 as he fights Edward Troyanovsky, who's also undefeated, 22-0 with 19 knockouts. So this guy's got some power, man. Who do you like in this fight?
Hey, we got to go with TBE here, don't we?
I'm rolling with the money man, Cesar Cuenca, the best ever. The best ever to tie Floyd Mayweather, Rocky Marciano. Do you think that if he ties this, he'll get any recognition at all?
No, because he hasn't gotten any so far.
Yeah, right?
You know?
How is he fighting? Let me ask you this, man. How is a guy fighting to go 49-0 fighting on Wednesday?
Well, not only that, we've never seen him. He's fighting
on an undercard Wednesday in Russia.
Yeah.
And he's not like the co-main. He's on the undercard. He's below the co-main.
He's like one of the opening bouts.
Right.
Yeah.
They're wheeling him out there like first. What is this? This guy, I tell you what, this guy gets absolutely zero respect. If he doesn't change management, he's a moron because he probably should be a billionaire by now because he's 49-0, you know.
Yeah.
Unbelievable.
And he's not in the same weight class as Floyd. I think he's 140, right?
What is he? Yeah, let me see here.
140, 147?
Okay. I believe he's somewhere in there. Hmm. 140, he's at 140.
Yeah.
See, I would like to see him brought in against Adrian Bronner.
Yeah.
Adrian Bronner, Victor Postol, and Terrence Crawford.
Yeah.
Let's see. Yeah.
Lucas Batiste, any of those.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah. Put him in there against somebody, man.
Yeah.
Who's.
Baratnikov, you know, same weight class. You know, there you go.
Edward Troyanovsky, incidentally, is ranked number 14 by the IBF.
Okay.
So maybe he hasn't fought anybody as, you know, he hasn't fought a bunch of killers like Cuenca has. I mean, Cuenca took out, of course, IK Yang in his last couple of in his fight before legally in his last one of his last two fights took out IK Yang. You know, so hey, he fights killers, man. I don't know, man. So we'll see.
In my opinion, in all seriousness, in my opinion, this card should not be taking place. Thank you, Povetkin. You're really blowing your number one contender status. That means it's going to go to Anthony Joshua if you lose.
Oh, man. I tell you what, Anthony Joshua is no joke. I don't know that he's ready for Wilder just yet, but he's no joke, man. He looks pretty good.
Well,
I've seen him in a lot of his fights, man, and Joshua, he hasn't had many, but I've saw most of them, man. He's actually a pretty good fighter, man. He may not
be ready, but the problem is if Povetkin loses, he gets the next shot, you know, whether he's ready or not.
Yeah, he's number two, he's number two in WBC.
Yeah.
How is he rated that high already?
Well, you'll have to answer that because I don't have a clue.
Yeah, I mean, he's already rated above Jennings and Stavern. I mean, come on, man.
You know, but hey, if Povetkin falls on his face, guess what? Anthony Joshua gets the next big shot.
Yeah.
And we know he's not ready, but Wilder will give it to him, you know.
I think so, too. I think now's the best time. If he's going to fight him, now's the best time. Don't wait till he gets any more experience, son. Get out there.
Right.
Arthur Spiltzka has been signed, and he's going to fight Amir Mansour, and that's going to be set for December 12th. Also, Chris Areola will fight Travis Kaufman on that same card.
Okay.
Yeah, if Amir Mansour was going to fight, this is the guy I would pick for him, is Spiltzka, because I think Spiltzka is going to get him out of there. Spiltzka's on a good winning streak right now. He's looked good in his past few fights, man. He really has. He's really a bit impressive, and I think he's going to beat Mansour. So,
I agree with you, but I personally think Gerald Washington beat Amir Mansour, and he should be getting this fight instead of Mansour. But okay,
right.
You know.
Right, I agree. I agree with you. I agree with you. Chris Areola is fighting on that same card, which, wow.
Yeah, and he's fighting a guy with the last name of Coffin. Well, maybe he should be put in.
That's right. Coffin, whatever.
Yeah.
All right, so, man, so let's shift gears here. Juan Manuel Lopez, Juanma, as he was affectionately known, has been arrested and charged with domestic violence. The former WBO featherweight champion is accused of hitting his wife in the face. She was taken to the hospital and treated for her injuries. Lopez, of course, denies any wrongdoing. We hear about this all too often, man, I think, in boxing and just really combat sports in general, a lot of violence and that kind of thing. And hopefully, if he did do this, then he's brought to justice and that kind of thing. So,
I will never understand. But when you love somebody and you're with them on an everyday basis, what is the point of hitting the one you supposedly love?
Right.
I don't get that.
Right.
Couples have arguments. They have fights. But there's no need to get physical.
No. And you're hit once, you get out. That's it. Because you will always, he will do it again. You will get hit again.
There's
a lot of people say, well, if it happens once, get help. If it happens twice, get out.
Yeah,
if it happens
once,
you get out. That's it. You don't put your hands on somebody else.
I don't, all these women that, he'll change, it won't happen, No, women need to learn. If this happens to you once, you leave.
Right. There is no second chance. There doesn't.
No.
Because there doesn't deserve to be a second chance.
Yeah. This is not like Monopoly where you can pass go and collect $200. I mean, come on. If it happens once, you leave.
Right. Right. I agree.
Agree.
So hopefully she comes to her senses and gets out of there. So we'll see what happens.
File for divorce and take him for whatever money he's got left.
Yeah, well, he's a former champion, so he doesn't have that much money. Maybe she could be like Shane Mosley's wife and take those belts, on eBay or have a new boyfriend try it on when he comes over the house.
And have him live in the basement like Mosley did. Yeah. Okay.
All right. Adrian Broner from Cincinnati, Ohio, is going to be a father.
Yeah, speaking of women,
again.
Here we go.
Right, speaking of lots of women here.
Yeah.
For the seventh time, he will become a father. Yep, that's right, his seventh baby. His fiancée, who goes by the nickname of Miss Louis Bags, is pregnant with a baby girl. Congrats, I guess, that's a lot of child support, buddy.
Yeah. And
what do you think that equates to in child support,
Believe me, I had three kids, but they were all with the same woman, and I had to pay enough child support, so I can imagine what his bill runs to, depending on how many women are involved.
Goodness, man. Oh, my goodness. Seven of them. Plus, because they take into account, I guess, how much you make and stuff like that, so, he's going to be paying out quite a bit. So, congrats to Adrian
Broner. No wonder why he takes fights with Ashley Theo Payne.
He's got to keep it going. Yeah. So, all right. So, between the Juan Manuel Lopez story and the Adrian Broner story, those are not the train wreck of the week.
Oh, absolutely not.
That is not the train wreck of the week, which just lets you know how bad the train wreck of the week is this week. This is the train wreck of the year. This is the Adrian Broner train wreck of the week story, okay? Yusef Mack. All right. Yusef Mack, boxer from Philadelphia. He appears in a new porn video that's caused quite a bit of scandal. And it's not just any porn video. It's a particularly graphic one that shows him engaging in a threesome with two other dudes. Mack, who is a father of 10. 10
Holy
kids.
Holy cow!
10. 10. All right? That's almost a soccer team. That's one more you're playing. I mean, you could play that way and not forfeit the game. You could put 10 guys on the field and not forfeit.
My God.
He is a father of 10 who's engaged to marry a woman, okay? He adamantly maintains that he's strictly a heterosexual. And that exactly. That's kind of tough to swallow when you're in a threesome on film with two other dudes. He says this is all a big mistake. Yeah, of course it is. Yeah, of course, It just kind of happened to get on film, Just because, of course it is. I mean, just because you have a threesome with two other guys, that doesn't make you gay, right?
Wait till everybody hears the best part of this.
Right, and this is great because they interviewed him, and this is what he says. This is how he says, you know, he's not gay. He says, you know, quote, my whole life I've been what they call a whoremonger. I love females. He said, the only time I touch a man is when I'm in the ring fighting, end quote. I'm a whoremonger. I'm a whoremonger. That's what he said. That's his big clearance.
But wasn't the best part of this, Eric? He actually woke up on a train with $4,500 in his pocket.
I'm going to get to that. Yeah, for sure.
So
this is beautiful. He says, the only time I touch a man is when I'm in the ring fighting, you know, or having sex for money on film, you know. You know, as a matter of fact, Mac has completely irrational and logical explanation for what happened. He was drugged, you know? Huh. Yeah, I guess that sounds logical enough. Yeah, why not? Because, you know, when you're drugged, I mean, yeah, lots of people are drugged and end up having a threesome with gay sex on film. Of course. I mean, that makes perfect sense. You know, he states that he took a pill and washed it down with vodka. The next thing he remembers, he's on a train there with $4,500 in his pocket. How can you not believe that story? I mean, that's completely plausible.
Yeah. Okay. First of all, it's rather appropriate that he's the train wreck of a lifetime because it involves a train.
Right.
But number two, if you're drugged and somebody knows that you have that much cash on you, guess what? You're going to wake up and not have any money left.
He took the pill. That's the other thing. He took the pill. He states he took the pill. He took the pill and washed it out. So at that point, you were not drugged. You took drugs. That's what happens when you – that's why they call them drugs. All right? You took it. You took – what did you think? You were taking aspirin? You know? What did you think you were doing? He took a pill and washed it down with vodka. Yeah. You drugged yourself.
For all females in the Philadelphia, Pennsylvania area, I mean, obviously, he's got 10 kids, but I would highly suggest you all go for STD checks.
Yeah, like yesterday.
Yeah.
All right. And he wakes up with $4,500 in pocket, which, you know, it's a lot of scratch. So, which leads me to my next question. Would you $4,500 to do a gay porn, would you do it?
Hell no.
Bucks? I don't think I would either, man. $4,500 is a lot of money, man, but I don't know. I mean, two in there with two dudes.
Hey, look, I'm straight. I'm only interested in females.
Well, so is Yusef Mac. I mean, Yusef Mac is straight, too.
He's a sure he is.
All right?
Yeah, sure he is. You know.
Incidentally, the site is actually called Dog Pound USA. So if you want to see Yusef Mac moonlighting as a gay porn star, you can go there. Apparently, Robbie told me he goes by the porn name of Philly. So, you also have to pay to see the video. Now, Robbie, you've seen this video a number of times now. What did you think of Mac in the video?
I've never seen this video, and oh my god!
You don't have to be embarrassed, man. We're all friends here, man. It's cool, man. No, you can admit it. Man. It's cool.
I would never watch this kind of. Oh my god! No, no. I mean, it's bad. It's bad enough we have to watch this dude fight, but
especially now.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, I tell you what, you know. All right. Well, that's not all, because later on, Yusef Mac, or Philly, if you will, has decided to come clean, because he said, you know, he was drugged in the porn studio. Of course, Dog Pound USA, being the upstanding people they are, said, "Hey, wait a minute, he wasn't drugged." You know. Mac issued a statement because what had happened, apparently, he, you know, a couple of weeks after the video was shot, he goes to the club. People are looking at him all, you know, people are looking at him. They're not talking to him, you know, because that's gay porn stars apparently can tend to get, you know, the cold shoulder, you know, I don't know.
And you're definitely not going to get women's attention that way either, man. It's like,
I can't imagine a lot of chicks would dig guys in gay porn, or if they did, I'm sure a lot of guys would be in gay porn, you know. So, it is what it is. So, Dog Pound said, hey, you know, he wasn't drugged. We're going to sue you, you know, for saying you were drugged, because that's BS, you know.
Yeah.
Mac then released a statement that read the following. This is an issued public apology from my heart. I want to address a few situations, with the first being the false claims I made about being drugged during the Dog Pound adult film. I have never spoken negatively about the company that produced the film, although the claim to have been given drug by someone was during the set. During the set was a lie. I was completely aware and fully conscious during the film. You don't say. It was shocking. You know.
I mean, my question is, Eric. I know he's been out of the ring for a while, but is he that broke that he's got to do a gay porno?
Oh, apparently, yeah.
I mean, my God.
4,500, yeah. Apparently, I guess it got pretty tough out there, you know, on the mean streets of Philly, you know. You saw the film. Was he drunk during the film, or did he seem lucid during the film at all? I mean, how did you view him? I mean,
I didn't watch this damn video.
He also goes on to say, the second situation, which further explains the first, concerns my lifestyle. I did participate in adult film because at the time I needed money. Let me tell you what, I don't think I need money that bad, son. But also because I'm a bisexual man, meaning I enjoy safely being intimate with whomever I choose.
Well, like I said, to all females in the Philadelphia, Pennsylvania area, get tested, you know.
He said, my life was completely destroyed once I had been outed that I had participated in a gay film. I selfishly tried to cover up the truth and remain in denial rather than accept the fact that I was leading a double life secretly. Shocking.
Well, you have run any chances you've ever had of having any other kind of relationships.
Well, except from the dog pound perspective,
yeah.
I'm sure you can have a relationship with those dudes. I mean,
yeah,
they seem to be very welcoming of him, you know.
You might be the next Tommy Morrison, dude. Congratulations.
No doubt, man. I mean, wow. Wow. Yeah, I mean, the best part about it was I love that, you know, during this whole thing, he just denies it and says, no, I'm straight. I was drugged. So you were drugged and then went into this, you know, this big gay gangbang porno movie and just performed in it, apparently. I don't know,
a lot of boxers back when Tommy Morrison was trying to continue his career, they didn't want to fight him. Do you think a lot of fighters are gonna actually want to step in the ring with this dude now?
No, I don't think so. I think he's just the mere fact that he was with a gay man, just take that part out of it.
Yeah.
If he just did porn, nobody'd want to touch him at that point.
I mean,
nobody wants to mess with it.
What he did here, Eric, is he basically threw away his boxing career.
Yeah, I mean, and not that he had a big one to begin with, but, I mean, at least he was making money, honest money and everything like that. And I guess this is honest money, too. It's not against the law, so.
No, but, I mean, he obviously made enough money to conceive 10 kids, you know.
I guess child support got rough, son. So what did he come out with that? He probably came out, like, after child support and taxes and everything, like $20 to the good, you know?
Between him and Adrian Broner, it's
17 kids between these two idiots, you know?
Like 17 kids. I mean, if this is not an advertisement for birth control, I don't know what the hell is.
Trojan man.
Wow. Viagra, you know, it's like hell.
I love how you participate in that kind of video and then say, oh, no way. I'm straight. I mean, of course I like women. Huh? Yeah, I mean, just getting doubled up by two dudes. Yeah, of course. Well, how can we not think that? You know, I mean, yeah, of course.
But hell, between those two guys, think about that. 17 kids.
Wow.
Damn. Keep going,
The worst part of all this, you didn't think anybody was going to recognize you? You didn't think this was going to come out? You know what I mean? Number one. But number two is that you lied about it. I mean, and you lied and said, you know, instead of just coming clean and saying, yeah, I'm bisexual, I like dudes or whatever, you chose to go the completely opposite direction when you're caught on film with two other dudes. You know what I mean?
I bet you they tear up his promotional contract because there's no way he'll ever get another fight after this.
Wasn't it Leonard Ellerby who was the towel boy, Mayweather's towel boy?
Could be. I don't know.
I don't know who it is.
Yeah.
Making that up. The worst part is that he lied about the whole thing. If he would have just came clean and said, yeah, you know, I mean, you saw what I did on video, you know, that, you know, apparently I swing that way. You know, instead he just denies it, said he was drugged, tried to get the company in trouble and everything like that. You know, dude, come on, man.
Yeah.
It's pretty clear. I mean, once you're on video caught doing that stuff, it's pretty hard to wiggle out of that one. No pun intended, of course, you know. But, yeah, man, I mean, it's like, not much.
And we have a couple other things that we need to cover that we didn't cover in News and Rumors. One, the Andre Ward situation.
Yeah, let's move on here. Let's talk about first. Let's talk about Shane Mosley and Liam Smith. Unless you want to talk about gay porn some more.
No.
All right, let's move forward then. Shane Mosley and Liam Smith. These two idiots were supposed to fight for Liam Smith's WBO super welterweight title. It's supposed to take place on December 19th in Manchester. That, of course, fell apart when there were some issues with the rematch. It is said now this is Mosley's problem now. Mosley said he didn't want to have an immediate rematch clause. So if he wins the title, he didn't want to give him a rematch. Then you don't want to fight. He's a champ. The champs get the rematch clause.
I've got a big question with this. Why the hell was even Liam Smith and the people in the UK even considering a fight with Mosley?
The bigger question. Yeah.
I mean, where the hell is Shane Mosley ranked? I mean, Sugar Shane Mosley had a fine boxing career in his younger days, but now he does not deserve any title shots.
Right. Exactly. I couldn't have said it better. I mean, if beating Ricardo Mayorga gets you a title shot, come on, man.
The fact that even a rematch clause would even be considered, this is another one like with the Brandon Rios-Cal Brook thing.
A rematch clause
wouldn't even need to be considered here.
Right. Yeah, what are you considering that for, you know?
Yeah. Anyway, go ahead.
All right, and on this month's cover of Ring Magazine, for the first time ever, a boxer will not appear on the cover. Ronda Rousey is on the cover of this month's Ring Magazine. What do you think about this?
Well, number one, she could probably beat up several boxers.
Very true.
You know?
Very true.
Because what is she in the I think she's 135, isn't she? Or no, 145. Hell, she could beat up.
She's 135. Yeah. 135.
Yeah, she could beat up several lightweights.
Absolutely. I still remember the YouTube of her and Victor Chinian, and she's throwing them around like a rag doll.
Yeah. Hey, good for Ronda. I mean, one thing you got to say about this girl, she constantly does things to get her name out there.
Yeah. Yeah, I agree. A lot of people are really upset about this. I'm not a big fan of it, and I love Ronda Rousey, and I mean, you know, but I tell you, I'm not a big fan of this because she's not, you're not going to see a boxer on the cover of MMA magazines or anything like that, you know.
Now, Oscar De La Hoya owns Ring Magazine. What is his rationale for this?
He wants to promote her if she turns pro. Because there's been loose talk of her turning pro. It's not going to happen.
Number one, I don't think she'll ever walk away from the UFC. She's making tons of money. And besides, if she's not in the ring, she's making movies.
She's going to make more money in movies and pro wrestling than she will in UFC.
Why is there even talk about her being a pro in boxing? She's not going to make the money in boxing that she's made.
She's not going to make that jump. You know,
yeah.
I think that's the other thing. She's not going to make that jump. You know, and, you know, like I said, man, I mean, you didn't have anybody else to put on the cover. I mean, seriously, you couldn't put, you know, anybody else on the cover aside from Ronda Rousey. I mean, she's not a boxer. That's the thing that kills me, is that she's not a boxer.
Well,
you know?
Another question, how much did Oscar pay her for this?
Yeah.
Because Ronda didn't do this for free.
Right. I mean, she's going to get paid just like Yusef Mack got paid, you know?
I
mean, very different things, of course, but they got paid. They don't do this for free.
Yeah.
You know? I don't like it, but, you know, I'm sure it'll sell a lot of magazine covers and stuff like that. And, you know, but who reads Ring? I don't think anybody reads Ring Magazine anyway, so.
I have no idea. But, okay, congratulations to her. I mean, she picked up more money. I mean, that's all you can say about this. I mean,
you can't really blame her. You can blame Oscar. You can't blame her, you know. Oscar's
is Oscar having, pantyhose flashbacks?
Yeah, right? You know,
yeah.
Exactly. You know. He should have put himself on the cover with that, you know.
I'm not going to say anything negative to Ronda here. This is Oscar's doing. You know.
Right. I agree with that. Very sad story coming out of the National Enquirer now. The National Enquirer is usually pretty credible when it comes to celebrity gossip and that kind of thing. they're usually right on the money. They're kind of like TMZ. They're always, you know, they're usually pretty right on. Muhammad Ali has been actually described as a source from the National Enquirer is quoted as saying Muhammad Ali has been described as being gravely ill.
Well, unfortunately, I can't dispute that because we know that Ali has been fighting Parkinson's and all and whatever else for a number of years.
Yeah, so hopefully it's a false report, and I don't want to see him being great. When somebody's gravely ill, that usually means a matter of days or weeks or something like that. You know,
yeah.
So hopefully that's not the case, but that's what's being reported.
Yeah.
Also, too, in the news, Iron Mike Tyson supporting the Donald Trump for president. Mike Tyson is on record as supporting Donald Trump for president. Are you with him? Do you stand with Trump, too? He does. He stands with Trump. Robbie and Mike Tyson standing with Trump.
Unbelievable. Honestly, I haven't made up my mind. I've watched several debates.
We don't have much of a selection here, brother. I'll tell you that.
Yeah.
I'm Mike Tyson's name for president. You know?
Yeah, I don't know. You know, but Tom Brady's also supported the Donald. So
that's it.
You know,
that's it. All the sports guys love the Donald.
Yeah. So
Andre Ward.
I wanted to get to this. Andre Ward is going to be on the undercard of the Canelo Cotto pay-per-view on November 21st. Now, he was supposed to be the co-main. I don't know if that's going to be the case or not.
I'm sure he will. Yeah, he's a big name, so I'm sure he will be.
But he's fighting a guy by the name of Alexander Brandt.
Yeah, Alexander Brand.
Brand.
How in the world they didn't sanction his last fight and they sanctioned this one? I mean, both guys were like, you know, come on. But how do they make that selection to sanction this one and not the other one? You know, they're both 1A and 1B.
Eric, like I said before we went on air, I don't know anything about this dude. So I know
the boxing. That's what we do. You know, we don't know anything about you, then there's something wrong.
I know the last dude was 18-1, and he was from Australia, but I don't know anything about. I think he's
25-1. I believe Alexander's 25-1, but he's ranked number 5, I think, by the WBA, if I'm not mistaken.
But my biggest problem with this whole HBO deal, and we're going to get to HBO more here in a second, is that they've given him a 3-fight deal, and they've accepted the fact that the first 2 fights, this one and the next one, are going to be against quote-unquote tune-ups, so he can fight later on next year Kovalev. Number one, as I've stated previously, I was a big Andre Ward supporter when he dominated the Super Six.
Well, he's your hometown guy, you know. I mean, yeah, he's like Adrian Broner is here, you know.
Yeah,
I mean, he's your hometown guy.
But I cannot support Andre Ward when he fights people like Paul Smith and Alexander Brandt and whoever else the third bum is going to be. Andre Ward has surpassed tune-up status because his resume indicates that he needs to take tough fights. And we've got a lot of idiots still calling for the Triple G fight. Folks, if he's fighting at 175, he's never going to fight at 168 to fight Triple G. That's not going to happen.
He's not going to wait to fight him, that's for sure.
You know, I want you to shut up and not talk about him ever fighting Triple G. That's not going to happen.
Nope.
Now he's going to have to deal with people like Kovalev, Stevenson, Better Beeb, and people in the light heavyweight division.
No, actually he's not. Because he's going to have to deal with he's going to have to deal with Kovalev, and that's it. Because he may deal with Better Beeb.
Yeah.
All right, and he may not. I don't know, but he may have to deal because Adonis Stevenson and all the others they're locked up.
My point is he's now 175.
Yeah.
I don't want to hear people continue to talk about Triple G because Triple G is not going to go to 168 to fight him. I mean,
everywhere he goes, WBC, Badu Jack, James DeGale, all of them signed under Heyman.
Yeah.
All right. You go to 175, Adonis Stevenson, Heyman.
Yeah. Yeah.
Sergey Kovalev is the only valid guy he can fight.
Yeah.
Fonfara, Heyman.
Yeah.
Cleverly, Heyman.
Yeah.
All of them. They're all under Heyman. And as long as he's under Roc Nation, he's not fighting any of them.
No, because him and Al Heyman and Jay-Z, like I've told everybody before, they can't stand the sight of each other. Hell, I would pay for a pay-per-view fight between Jay-Z and Al Heyman so we could get that score settled.
Yeah, no doubt.
Because hell, at least they're fighting over somebody worthy, Beyonce.
Yeah, exactly. You know. I'd fight over Beyonce. you know, better, like I said, man, he's going to fight Kovalev and Pascal are really the only big names out there that he can fight.
And Kovalev is going to destroy Pascal because they're fighting again in March.
They already fought. Yeah, what unanswered question did you have from the first eighth round knockout they had?
Yeah.
You know?
Well, like I've stated before, the problem is Kathy Duva don't want to work with anybody. And she's tied up her fighter to one network.
Yeah, brilliant move there.
Yeah,
brilliant.
And this goes into our next story. It was announced on Friday that Ken Hirschman, the president of HBO Sports and the leader of HBO Boxing, is stepping down. I think he's being forced out because I think the higher ups at HBO want a piece of the PBC. And they should. Yeah.
They should. He's on every network. Why wouldn't you not?
And
it opens it up for so many bigger things. If they get on HBO, that opens it up for Adonis Stevenson. That opens it up for Fonfra. That opens it up for a lot of people.
Yeah.
All right, because now they're on the same network. So now Kovalev can fight Stevenson. Kovalev can fight whoever. It opens it right up.
I think people may disagree with me because we talked about this yesterday. But I firmly believe that he's being forced out because he didn't want to work with Al Haymon.
And that's stupid. Why would he not want to work with Al Haymon, though? I mean, that doesn't make any sense.
I don't know.
I mean, because it's not like he has a what dog does he have in this fight?
I don't know.
And if that's the case, then good riddance.
Yeah.
To Ken Hirschman.
Yeah, the HBO is seeing all this because ESPN they just cashed a $12 million check for their last card. $12 million, okay, for the Alexander card that they just had. That gives you an idea of what the time buys are to these networks. HBO wants a piece of that.
Right. Why wouldn't they, you know? And that's the other thing, too. I mean, you know, he doesn't care what network he's on. I mean, he's on Showtime and Bounce TV. I mean, he doesn't care. He just ABC, CBS, NBC, he's on all of them, you know?
And now he just made a new deal with Fox.
Yeah, let's talk about that real quick here. PBC signs a deal with Fox TV. Regular Fox, Channel 19 in Cincinnati is Channel 19. I know it's different all over the states, but, you know, regular Fox, you know,
and,
regular network. That's big time, man.
And
that's
apparently,
not, you know.
Apparently it's a two-fight deal, and the first fight is supposed to be either in February or March, somewhere around there in the spring, Porter Thurman.
Right. Yeah, so that should be good, too.
Yeah.
And I know they were talking about Porter fighting Thurman. This year, but
yeah.
they wanted to wait for the right time. That's what I heard, that deal didn't fall apart.
Yeah.
They wanted to make the fight. They're going to make the fight. They just wanted the right stage to do
it
in.
Well, you know, Keith Thurman has opened up NBC. He's opened up ESPN, so why not have him open up Fox?
Absolutely. Absolutely. I mean, it's a good move. It's a good move.
Yeah. So, there you go. I think we're going to see more PBC. I think we are going to see PBC on HBO.
Right. I do too.
Yeah,
I absolutely do.
I think 2016 PBC is going to totally take hold of the sport of boxing. And for people like Oscar, Bob, and everybody else, they're going to have to learn to stand up and take notice or start working with the dude.
Right. I agree. You know, now, the WBO has stripped Guillermo Rigondeaux for inactivity. Did you hear about this? Was that the right decision?
Yeah. I think that's the right decision because this to me, it falls on the fighter. The fighter has horrible management, has horrible promotion things, and for whatever reason, he doesn't want to. His management team, he's got so many people involved, it's impossible for him to make fights.
Well, and you have to fight once every 9 months to keep the WBO title.
And he hasn't fought since
11
the last.
Months, yeah,
he hasn't fought since just New Year's Eve.
Yeah. Now the WBA is talking about stripping him as well. Here's where I have the problem with the WBA. I don't care about the WBO.
Okay.
They've got rules. They can do that. The WBA is talking about stripping him as well. What about Mayweather? He's the WBA champ at 154. Not once. And when is the last time he defended that title? That was years ago.
Yeah.
He didn't even defend the title.
Well, didn't you say 147 or 154 have made him a champion of
America? No, this is WBC.
Okay.
WBA, we'll talk about that, but yeah, WBC did that, not WBA.
Okay.
So that's where I have a problem with them talking about stripping Regendahl for inactivity. Yeah. But the rumor is that he's going to fight soon. Don't know who, though. Don't know what. He was supposed to have a big announcement in September, I guess, regarding his management, and that never came. So I imagine something fell through there.
Look, we cannot believe anything that anybody says affiliated with him because he hasn't fought since New Year's Eve.
No. No, he's not fighting. I mean, that's the thing. He can't get fights. He's not fighting. He can't get fights. I mean, you know, look, get rid of your management.
Look, you get rid of the management, you sign with Al Haymon, you can get all the fights you want.
Right. He'll put you on there. He's given Arislandi Lara work. All right, he'll give you work for sure. You know.
And look,
to fight that guy.
As we stated earlier in this podcast, there's absolutely nobody that really wants to fight Lara.
No, not at
you
all.
You know. But Al Haymon are fighting, he's finding people to fight him, so come on, get
absolutely
with it, people. I mean,
speaking of Al Haymon and the Al Haymon cards and everything like that, Eric Bonet, if you remember, he was the one, the late substitute against Sean Porter.
Yeah, because Roberto Garcia failed his physical.
Right. He's going to fight Chris Algieri on the Jacobs Quillen undercard. I'm really looking forward to that fight.
And Bonet has moved up permanently now to 147.
Yeah.
Because Al Haymon said, you move up to 147, I'll get you fights.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And then whatever happened, do you think we'll see Roberto Garcia again?
No, he keeps ducking out of fights.
Yeah. His last one, he was coming overweight or, you know, something crazy.
Yeah. He was pulling that the Frankie Gomez thing where he comes in way overweight, you know.
Right. You know. Right.
I mean, him and Gomez should fight at their own weight class, you know?
Yeah. All right, so let's switch gears here, man. I got a couple of Floyd Mayweather stories. Floyd Mayweather making it rain, $50,000. $50,000 at a strip club. He posted a picture of himself toting around armfuls of cash at a strip club. Hey, somebody's got to put these girls through college, man. Might as well be Floyd. All right. And speaking of which, will they or won't they? Pacquiao says he's currently negotiating a rematch with Floyd Mayweather. Of course, Mayweather, to his credit, says, no, we're not. Now, amid all this talks, Amir Khan, who said just a few weeks ago that he walked away from the table, they're not willing to play ball, the Pacquiao camp is not willing to play ball. Amir Khan states that Pacquiao talks are going well. What? He says that talks with the Pacquiao camp are now going well, and he sees a fight with Pacquiao in the future, near future.
There's two scenarios here. Manny will either fight a rematch with Floyd, as much as I don't want to see that.
Nobody's watching it. I'm not watching it.
Or he's fighting the one that is going to earn it by not saying a word, Terrence Crawford.
Right. That's what I want to see. And speaking of Floyd, of course, Floyd is now the WBC Emeritus Champion. The WBC held its annual convention and made Floyd the emeritus champion. This basically means he retires as champion and is not stripped or anything like that. It's more like an honor thing.
Yeah.
The belts are now up for grabs. You know, the 147 WBC and the 154 WBC, they're both up for grabs. Danny Garcia and Amir Khan are the number one and two contenders for the WBC 147, and then Jermell Charlo, of course, and then somebody else. I can't remember who it was.
Let's make that Garcia Khan rematch because I think Danny does it all over again.
Yeah, maybe John Jackson, maybe Jermell Charlo and John Jackson are.
We could see that. And Charlo approved with a new trainer. He's got a new style. Why not?
Yeah, keep in mind, none of these fights are probably going to happen.
No.
These are just the number one contenders now. By the time it gets to post time and they make the calls and people decline and everything like that, these will be completely different fights. But it is an honor thing. It's something that is a very prestigious thing to retire emeritus, so that's really good.
Yeah.
Good for Floyd. Like I said, it doesn't matter who the contenders are because it'll change by post time, and so we just know that it'll be two people from Al Haymon's organization.
There you go.
So there you go. And let's end here on a good note here. We talk a lot about Floyd Mayweather. Mostly it's bad. But here's a class move. And, you know, he makes a lot of those that go unnoticed. He really does. He does do a lot for charity and that kind of thing. I make a lot of fun of him because it's just fun to do.
Yeah, it's easy to do.
You're right, absolutely. You know, when he spends $50,000 at a strip club, you know, why not? Floyd Mayweather sent a signed pair of boxing gloves to Leah Still. Her dad, who played football, Devin Still, played former Cincinnati Bengal, by the way, Devin Still, wrote that they're a perfect gift for Leah, whom he had instructed to win every round of her chemotherapy and treatment, and she would win the fight against cancer. Leah's cancer has been in remission since March. Great story there. And Devin Still, of course, played for this our very own undefeated NFL future champion, Cincinnati Bengals. All right. He played for them, and he still has insurance through the Bengals. The Bengals actually covered his, him and Leah Still for 5 years. So Bengals also a class organization as well. So great news for them, and class move by Mayweather, man. That was a very good thing to do.
Yep. No, we talk a lot of garbage about Floyd, but that's a very nice thing to do.
Well, Robbie, you talk a lot of garbage about Floyd. I'm usually on his side in his corner and that kind of thing.
Yeah, okay.
And I never make fun of the guy.
Yeah, we do all the time.
All right. So that'll do it for this edition of Ringside Reporter. As always, you can catch Robbie on Twitter at Ringside Robert, and I'm at Ringside73, and we will see you next week.
Thanks for listening to the Ringside Reporter podcast. Check us out on the web at www.ringsidereporter.com, on Twitter at Ringside73, and like us on Facebook at facebook.com/Ringside73. Subscribe to us on iTunes.